Blog Talk Radio.
With our arms open.
can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. My knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes and I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I would do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine, yeah. I can only imagine. To my knees, will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. God,
we're grateful because if it had not been for you, we would not be here. We opened our eyes this morning, God, because you gave us the strength to open our eyes. We were able to rise because you gave us strength in our limbs and the facilities of our body. We were able to get here, God, because you blessed us and brought us the way of safety and did not allow harm to come to us, Lord. We're grateful to again come into your presence because we know where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And as we come before you today, have your way, Lord. Let flesh be crucified that you might be glorified. that your people might be edified in the name of Jesus. For God in you is life. And that's what we seek, God, life, eternal life, God. We pray, oh God, today that you will touch every person that have come seeking you, Lord. Bind the hand of the devil, God. Rebuke the hand of the enemy, Lord. God, let your anointing that resonates in this place even now. God, let there be an outpouring on your people. We need you, God, to take us to another level in you, Lord. God, we're faced with demonic forces, God. Evil spirits have come up against us, Lord, and we need to be fortified with your power. God, we can't make it on our own strength, God. We don't have enough to stand on, Lord. But we know, God, that your joy is our strength. Fill us up on today in the name of Jesus. Somebody have come this morning burdened down, God, with the issues of life, God. Somebody, God, is in the battle of their life. Somebody's, God, fighting in their mind and in their spirit, Lord, where the devil have come in to war against them, Lord. But we thank you, God, because we know greater are you that's within us than he that is within this world, God. We know, God, that you are a deliverer, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you're no short of your promise, Lord, and you're able to deliver us, Lord. Touch us on today, Lord. We need you like never before. Fill us up with the Holy Ghost, God, and give us a refilling, Lord, that when we leave here today, Lord, we can leave with your anointing, Lord, that as we meet men and women, boys and girls, they might be converted to know who you are, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. We thank you because you are a healer. You're the God that healeth thee, and healing is in your wings, and you're able to touch our feeble bodies. You're able to save our troubled souls, and in the name of Jesus, bind every demon, Lord, every demonic force, Lord, God, that comes to keep us in the same place, Lord. We're willing, God, to surrender and say yes to your will, Lord. We're willing to turn our lives, God, over into your hands, Lord, because we come to the place, God, where we realize like never before, we need you, Jesus. More than anything we know, we need you, Jesus. While men are trying to find, God, solutions to this chaotic world, God, we're looking to you, Lord, because we know for every right desire, there is an answer, and Jesus, you're that answer. There's no need for us, God, to turn hither or thither, Lord. We need but to look for you, Lord, because you're the answer, God, for our troubled lives, Lord. Touch on the day, God. Break every yoke, oh God. Save on the day, God. Deliver on the day, God. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We're crying out to you, Lord. We know that you're able to save our souls. We know that you're able, God, to heal our bodies, Jesus. We know that you're able, God, to turn our situations around. Jesus, no other help we know. No other help we know. No other help we know, God. You're able, Jesus, to deliver our children. You're able, Jesus, to save the unsaved husband. You're able, Jesus, to heal the cancer patient. Nothing too hard for you, Jesus. No other God we know. We know that you're able, Jesus. We know that you're able, Jesus. We say yes to your will, God. Yes to your way, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. And we'll thank you for it. And we'll give your name the praise. And we'll bless you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord. And we bless your holy name. Come on, open your mouth and give the Lord some praise.
Inspiring and encouraging you all day long. Jesus in the Morning Radio with Barbara.
Splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great our God.
To me, Paul says, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. I love this verse, though. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Never forget the assignment that is on the church. That it's not just about, see, because we get so bogged down in the things that we go through. And we forget that we were made to declare things not just to people, but to spirits in the heavenly places. You were made to teach some demons some stuff about God. You were made to declare to every high place that it's coming down in Jesus' name, that God's people are victorious, that we are the kingdom, that we win every fight because the power of God is with us. I was listening to an old Fred Hammond record, and the woman who was talking, I think her name was Kim, and she said, we have the most prestigious seat in the kingdom. We're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We give glory to the Lamb tonight. If you don't mind lifting your hands, or you can clap, whatever you want to do to just honor the Lord. If you want to just shout, whatever you want to do, you can just do it right now. I'm not going to tell you what to do. But Lord, your kingdom blesses you tonight. God, your people declare some things tonight. That you are most worthy to receive glory and honor and power. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Everybody say,
glory to the Lamb.
We sing
glory,
we give all glory
to the Lamb.
Yes, we sing
glory
to the Lamb. This is why. For he is and
Omega
forever is he. And he will reign
forever.
Holy, holy, holy,
holy
is he.
Is he.
So together let's sing glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
Father, we sing tonight glory,
glory,
glory to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
We give all the glory,
glory
to the Lamb.
To
Jesus is his name, we give
glory,
glory to the Lamb.
To the Lamb.
For he is
now,
he's the beginning,
okay.
And he is the end,
forever
he remains. And he will reign forever, with all power and authority.
Forever
he is king.
Oh,
holy is he.
Holy is he.
spreading the love worldwide. www.jesusinthemorningradio.com.
I would like to go inside this morning, this afternoon. Just want to go inside. So many times we relate God to our situation and to the things surrounding us, to our material side, to our emotional side, and to those things that we have to deal with in the world as it relates to the outside of us. But I'd like to go inside. I'd like to go where no one else can go but God and His Word. So I would that you would go with me to Romans chapter 7. I want to begin reading at about verse 14. And maybe you should read this with me. And we all just read it together. We'll try not to identify with it, I guess. But we'll read it together and we'll see just what happens. In Romans chapter 7, Paul, having presented the treatise of the gospel, he now begins to deal personally with this presentation. Beginning at verse 14 altogether, let's go. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in the law, I know you don't want to read anymore, that when I would do good, come on, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, he'll increase your anointing. Look at somebody else and say, he'll increase it.
Amen.
Amen. He'll increase it. Now, Father, you got to help me now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, notice our reaction to that passage. And it seems as if all of a sudden we have become extremely gloom because we're fighting in our minds to grasp the relationship between that particular passage and ourselves. Yes. The easiest way to deal with it, actually, is simply to say, as so many writers have said, so many theologians have said, that this is not the situation for a child of God. The easiest way to deal with it is to argue that this has to be a sinner. And this is Paul speaking about a situation that existed prior to his saved experience. And some of the arguments, I guess I missed the plane already, so I might as well take my time, is that chapter 8 and verse 1 is so totally in contrast, because 8 and 1 deals with the new man. This is the argument. That 7, chapter 7, 14 through 25, could not be dealing with. That's the argument. But if you study chapter 8 carefully, you will notice also that there is a paradox between the new life of the saint and the struggle that one has internally as we seek to climb up to where God would have us to go. If you check in chapter 8, there are places there that outline and show us that there's always a paradox between good and evil in the life of the child of God. Yes. And if you simply go by your experience, not by how we market salvation, but go by what you're going through, and if you're truthful, you know, and will face yourself, and you can somehow see that maybe I just might fit. In 7:14 through 25. Now I warned you now that was going on the inside. It's all right to deal with what we want God to do with us on the outside. No sense in God making me rich if he's not going to change my inside. Amen. I mean, a poor devil, a rich devil, you know. Got to be changed. Now, they further argue that the discord of 7:14 through 25 contrasts with the new man of chapter 6, the new life. But I want to note that even in 6, Paul deals with the struggle. And when you check his writings, there is no place that Paul implies that a saint will not struggle within themselves as long as they're in this body. The problem is that the church has just decided that we don't want to deal with it. And isn't it funny? The church is the last place that you can go to and tell somebody you've got a problem. It's like I'm not supposed to be hurt.
Or I'm not supposed to feel the way I feel. And when I'm dying on the inside, I've still got to give the impression that everything is all right, but my soul is crying out, somebody help me. Oh, Jesus. I want to note with you that the struggle is because we're in the flesh. Huh? Oh, Jesus. And the Lord showed us that when you're in these bodies, you've got something pulling you that is not wanting you to be in line with God. You're wrapped up in a panoply of proclivity that pulls you negatively. And Jesus himself at Gethsemane, and he was known to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And when he got to Gethsemane, he was born to die. And when he got to Gethsemane, he began to pray. His prayer was, all things are possible unto you. And as he prayed to his Father, he began to deal now with the knowledge he had, and that was, your parameters are limitless. You can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and it would be all right. I need you to adjust your plan for me, if you can. Because all things are possible unto you. You can find another way to save these folks. Because I don't really want to go through this. I wonder if that the way you feel sometimes. I will tell you, I feel it, you know. I know what you plan for me to do, and I know what I've been called to do, but right now, I really don't want to go through this. You know, I know I've been chosen, and yes, before the foundation of the world, before you catapulted, you knew all of us that would be in you. And I know you got the solution somewhere, but I really don't want to go through this. Yeah, I know I ought to praise you, but I don't feel like praising you. And I know I ought to lift you up, but I don't feel like lifting you up. I know I ought to be able to tell the devil no and walk away from the telephone when I'm feeling lonely all by myself, but I really don't want to go through this. And you can change it for me. Touch your neighbor and say, we'll get through this. If you love me, why don't you go outside of my struggle? Because you can make it easy on me. You've got an answer. So he continues to pray, if it be possible, let this cup. Let it pass from me. The measure of agony is, let it pass. But the measure of destiny is, if it's possible, change it. But how am I going to get a name above every name if I don't go through what I go through? You see, we want to lose the agony, but we still want the destiny. But what God is saying to me is, you got to go through what I put you through in order to be what I'd have you to be. And I want to be without going through. God says, no, it don't work like that. You got to go through what you got to go through in order for me to make you what I want you to be. If I'm going to give you a name above every name, you got to go lower than anybody's gone to touch mankind. I put somebody say, if you want the blessing, you got to have that's a struggle. Oh, I feel like preaching in here. Yeah, I know it. I planned it. And I'm going to make you go through it. Now they tell me, don't question God. Yet Jesus stood on the cross and hollered, my God, why? There are times when you want to know why. If he would just tell you why, you could get through it. If he would just open up and show you every last detail of the struggle you're in right now, you could feel a little better. There are times when he just won't tell you why. He's just saying, it's about me, that's all. You just got to trust me in the middle of it. You're not going to get an answer, just go on. Just that, not a word. But if I'm going to make you what I want you to be, I've got to cause you to go through. Now notice Jesus' response. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there are times when what I do, I can't find it in myself to do it. I just do it because God wants me to do it. I'm not enjoying it. It ain't no fun. It's simply, Lord, I'm doing it for you. I don't want to talk to him, but I'll talk to him for you. I don't want to deal with these folk, but I'll deal with them for you. I don't want to go through what I'm going through, but I'll go through it for you. Because I don't want to do it, but I'll do it for you, that you might get the glory in my pain. Glory. I feel God in here today. Well, I got to work today. I just see. You've got to understand this. The pain sometimes is too great for me to will it. The pain is so great for me that I cannot will it of myself. It has to be God's will in order for me to do it. Because there's nothing in me that wants to do it. I'm not willing to receive the pain. I'm only willing to do your will. I don't want the pain. But if I got to have the pain to do your will, I'll take the pain. But in me there's nothing that wants to take the pain. It's just that my spirit is linked with your spirit, so that when I'm not willing, you'll give me the anointing to take the pain. Oh, God, help me here today. Can I just take my time? I'm just going to take my time here today. Because we don't want to identify with the fact that in a relationship with God, he's going to bring every one of us to deal with ourselves. Some of us think that revelatory experience is for somebody else. But there is no revelatory experience that does not first deal with the person to whom it's revealed. God gives me nothing for you that I can't use for me. And so before I can come to you, I've got to deal with me. But we like to deal with others. We don't want to deal with ourselves. But you're going to deal with yourself today. Because what God is saying is, I've got all your blessings ready, but you're not. When I get you ready, the blessings will flow. But you've got to deal with the truth. Without me, you can't do nothing. Because there ain't nothing good in you. I'm the only good that you have. God in this place. Pull on somebody a little bit. Say, you coming out today. Just pull on them. Pull on them real good. Say, you coming out today. I know you want to give the impression that's something good in your flesh, honey, but you coming out today. The blessings are ready for you, but you got to come out. You got to tell God, yes, you're right, I'm wrong. Help me to get to where I need to go. I want to point out to you that this struggle, it ignites Paul's language about self. And there's something about self that the Lord brings us to realizing And what he brings us to realize is that no matter how you're viewed on the outside, you have got to come to grips with who you are based on your relationship with me. I want to run through a few things and then I want to go down a little bit further. Remember Job. Job was a paradigm of virtue. Everywhere I read, the word was that his name was Job, that he was perfect, he was upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. In the book of Ezekiel, about 14:14, when the Lord is speaking to the prophet, he speaks about Job, and he points out that these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, if they were in Israel, the Lord said, I wouldn't deliver everybody because of them. I would only deliver them because of their righteousness, saith the Lord. Their righteousness will not be good enough for everybody. They could only get out themselves. Then in James 5:11, he talks about Job. He says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. By any stretch of the imagination, the outside declarations about Job are all wonderful and beautiful. But then I read Job speaking about himself. And he says, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And then one begins to wonder, how can Job have so many accolades by scripture? And when he deals with himself, sees himself as so little or nothing. And it seems to me that that is the power of Job. When he realizes, if I'm to be anything, God's got to do it. Because no matter how folk pat me on the back, I know myself. I know the thoughts I had to fight in order to do the will of God. I know the things I wouldn't want anybody to know about me. I know the struggles I have in the night and the things that go through my mind. And I have to admit to God, Lord, when folk pat me on the back, I'm still not worthy. And if you don't help me, I'll never make it. Oh, glory to God. I wish I were in a church today where I could just look at somebody and say, help me. Because when I look at myself, it's not like how you see me. But I see myself empty. I see myself ragged. And if I don't lean on God, I never have a single victory in my life. And when God gets you to that place, he'll bring you up and give you power to overcome. I might as well go further with this. And I'm going to get happy today. I'm going to have a little church too, I promise. But I just got to get down in here. Daniel cries, alas, O Lord, we have sinned. Here is a man with an excellent spirit. Isaiah, the chief among prophets, he cries, woe is me, for I am undone. Paul, when he thought he had to respond to what Peter and the rest of the boys were doing, he spoke up about not being one whit behind the least of the apostles, behind the apostles. But in 1 Corinthians 15:9, he says, I'm the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle. 7 years later, to the Ephesian church, he writes, to me, the very least of all the saints, was this grace given to preach to the Gentiles. 7 years later, before he's about to leave the world, he cries, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, foremost of whom I am. I wonder how you're seeing it. The closer you get to Jesus, the less important you feel. And one problem with the church is we compare ourselves with each other, and we feel like we're somebody special. But I dare you to go inside and look at Jesus Christ, and you'll throw up your hands and holler, "In me, that's in my flesh, well, there's no good thing." And when you say it, he'll charge you with a fresh anointing to deliver you from every burden that's around your shoulder. I feel God in here. Hey, God, help me this morning. I want to point out with you, and you just rest a little bit here. I want to take it to another level, if you will, because this text brings us into an awareness of self. All right, since you're sitting so quiet, messing with me, I'm going to mess with you now. Run your Bible quickly to 1 Corinthians. No, it's 2 Corinthians. If I find it, I'll read it now. And I want to show you something here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 7, in chapter 10, verse 7, Paul does something here that's remarkable for those of us that just don't want to go where this is going. He says to us, "Do you look on things after the outward appearance?" And now some of us will get deep and say, "No, I use discernment." But you don't have discernment carte blanche, or you wouldn't have bought the car you bought. That won't go anywhere but to the, to the mechanic shop. If you had discernment, how come you bought that house with the roof, falling in? Well, they fooled me. Well, I thought you had discernment. You do not have discernment carte blanche. Most of us look at things after the outward appearance. And that's why Paul said, "Do you look at things after the outward appearance?" And the only real answer there is yes. I look at things outwardly. I look at things from an outward standpoint. If you saw a man walk up here in a limo with his name on it, after having been dropped off with a helicopter with his name on it, who has a house in Maine, who has a house in Florida, and a house in the hills, and wearing $3,000 Brioni suits and Zello ties, you would think he had some money, or a lot of credit, whatever. But notice now, he says, even though you look at things from an outward appearance, I want you to be careful about something. He says, "If any man trusts to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ." Now you look at the outward appearance and you make your judgments. But then you know yourself. You know everything you struggled with as a child of God. You know when income tax time came, you had a hard time telling the truth about your earnings, even though you are sanctified. I have been to the prayer meeting and I have heard people pray. When they were praying for me, they were praying loud, "Lord, bless the preacher and keep him from all kinds of temptation. Watch over our pastor and make sure that everything is right. Keep him from those that would trip him up, Lord." But then the prayer changed and it began to be I wonder who you were praying for then. When you're praying for somebody else, you're screaming on top of your voice, "Lord, move on his behalf." But there's a prayer that gets real quiet. And I wonder who it is you're calling out for. Because I've never heard a child of God holler, "Lord, help my lying lips. And keep my bad attitude from overflowing my spirit." You know yourself. Now, if you know yourself and you still claim to be a child of God, then why don't you give that same privilege to your sister when you don't know her like you know yourself? How much of us are preaching here today? Touch somebody and say, if I think I'm saved, then I know you must be. Because I don't know you like I know me. And with all I've been through, I still believe if he were to crack the sky, I'll make it. I ought to give you the same privilege. It's going to get better. You've got to understand then. When I come to a text like this, I feel like Walt Whitman. He says, I think I could turn and live with animals. They do not swear and whine about their condition. They do not lie awake in the dark and weep for their sins. Unquote, Walt says, I wish I didn't have to deal with this. I don't want to deal with myself. I don't want to face me. I want to blame others. It's everybody else's fault why I'm not where I should be. But there are times when God says, I want you to see yourself before I take you to where I want you to go. You've got to see it's not you doing it, but it's me and the power of my spirit. I know it gets a little rough in here, but just come on through with me. An awareness of self is a monster to me, because I don't want to deal with me. An awareness of self exposes how I think and exposes my attitudes and my dispositions. The Holy Spirit shines a light in me and makes me feel like nothing. I thought I was somebody till God got in. And I found myself crying, woe is me, for I am undone. At first I thought it was something to hide. But when I went through the Psalms and went through Romans 7, I found out this is where God wants me. He wants me to be oblivious of praise from others. And he wants me to be oblivious from low self-esteem from others. He wants me in a place where he deals with me and I deal with him. There is a time in your self-awareness where you see your inability to do what it takes. And that stimulates us to an awareness of our needs. Anybody who sees themselves sees their needs. And when you see your need, it puts you in another category. Because now you've got to deal with whether or not you're able to meet your own need. And when you find you can't meet your own need, then you move into anxiety. Because I can't meet my need. Now I'm anxious and now I'm worried. Because there's certain things I want to do for God. But when I would do it, it doesn't perform. So even though inside I want to do the right, I got to fight to do everything good that God would have me to do. It's not easy for me. Because I can't find within myself the power to perform it. In our relationships, we lean on others to make us happy. And it's unfair to lean on somebody else who's got to fight with happiness themselves. But we reach for others as if you're to blame for me not having the joy I'm supposed to have. And we become hard on others because we make them the object of our hatred when they have failed us to keep us alive and keep us up. God help me today. If just one person will see it, God will break loose in your life like you never thought. Then this awareness of self brings about anxiety, worry, and then guilt. Because I say to myself, I ought to be better off. And I ought to have the power by now. Can you imagine then knowing you need something, and find yourself having to depend on somebody that you really don't want to need. Glory. Going to them, not wanting to go, but can't help in yourself. You become a slave to them because they know you have to have them. When you are caught in a situation where I can't help myself, I don't want to call on the phone, but I need them so badly that I got to reach for them when I don't want to reach for them. There is a need that'll bring you into captivity because you don't want to, but you do it because you don't know what else to do. There are times in lives are twisted and minds have been totally ruined because they become slave to needs and needs to people when they know in their spirit, I don't want to, but I can't break loose. Something is drawing me that I want to cut free from. And it becomes a burden. It becomes a yoke. I feel like going deeper. But I don't know if you can stand it. I don't know if you can take it. This anxiety exists when we consider what we have to do. And I can't find it in myself to do it. Then I have to become pressured by it. And so I'm not like the animal. I wish I could just walk away. So I go to church. And church becomes an opiate where I feel good for a moment. But I got to go back and deal with the loneliness of that room. After I've shouted, how do I deal with the pain on the inside? After I leave the congregation and I'm left to myself with monsters on the inside, how do I overcome what's going on the inside when I don't want to pick up the phone, but I feel so alone and I feel so broken? If you don't understand it, you'll go back to what you used to do. If you don't understand it, you'll call who you're trying to get away from. If you don't understand it, you'll be wrapped up in something you're trying to break. And all God is saying to you is, don't lie to yourself, but admit you got a problem. And don't let other folk make you play the hypocrite. When you need help, I'll be there. When you need help, I'll set you free. Because I brought you to the point where you'll holler from your spirit, Lord, makeup can't cover it. My new clothes can't cover it. Help me to come out. Throw your hands up. Look up to God. And holler, help. I feel the spirit of God here. I wonder, can I preach this thing? And so then this writer has grown in God until he hates sin and he hates his own weakness. And this is the strength by which he will rise. He looks in his spirit and he says, I'm not producing like I ought to. I get sick of myself when folks talk negatively and I go down into the valley. I ought to walk over it. I get sick of myself when folks look at me funny and I feel like walking away from God. I get sick of myself because I don't have what the next person has. And it bothers me on the inside as if I don't have a God. I get sick of myself when I struggle with things I ought to run through. I get sick of myself when I ought to be lifting him up. And I'm sitting like everything is going my way. I get sick of myself when I'm complaining instead of praising. But I've got to admit that something on the inside is fighting against what I want to be and what I want to become. I know I got power to tell the enemy, get out of my house. But I get sick of myself. When I go to the house, it turns me against myself. Instead of me straightening it out, I get sick of me. And I'm saying to God, oh wretched man that I am. I'm in church, but I need more power. I'm in church, but I need deliverance. I'm in church, but I need to rise up and let the devil know I've got victory, not in me, but in the power of the Spirit of God. I feel loose now. I feel like having church now. Touch somebody, say, you're going higher. Come on, look them dead in the face. Tell them you're going higher. I know you don't want to deal with it, but I got to shake loose the inside. The outside will take care of itself. But if God don't break those yokes that bind you, some of you don't even ask him for certain things because you feel so guilty. You feel like I don't have the right to ask him because I've done so many negative things. But what God is saying is I don't bless you by words. It's a grace thing. And you got to ask me because I put you in a place to deal with yourself. And the spirit that I put in you is showing you who you are. And if you just listen, it'll expose you, but it'll bring you out. I got to preach in here. I got to preach until the devil takes his hands off. Somebody's still holding on. But I came to break that yoke in the name of Jesus. Because if you could just get yourself in order with God, folk won't put you down and walk on you and make you feel like nothing. Because when you know who you are in the presence of the Almighty, even what you're fighting with this day, he's going to bring you out of it. Tell your neighbor, you're coming out. You're coming out. You're coming out. You might not be able to praise him right now, but praise him on credit, because he's good for it, honey. You coming out. I feel God in this place. I don't know how you feel, but I feel delivered. I want you to notice something about David. He said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And here is a man, a giant. And if any man should have been through and gotten through the Bathsheba experience, it should have been David. But notice how God exposed his behavior, not only for his generation, but for all of us to see that God does not only work in your victory, but God works in your defeat. And if you will not admit why God's got you covered, that Lord, I need your help, he'll have to pull the covering off for you to be exposed in order to reach into his bosom and say, bring me out. You don't serve God for other people. You serve God for yourself. And I don't need somebody else to expose me when I got the Holy Ghost telling me, admit it. Don't lie to yourself. Admit it. Because the minute you admit it, I'll pick you up. I'll take you through. And I'll give you the power to be what I have you to be. I feel God in here. Touch somebody, say, I'm going home changed. I'm going home with victory. I'm going home with power. Going home. I'm going home a new person. I might not get a Cadillac, but I'll be new. I might not get a Mercedes, but I'll be new. I might not get a new job, but I'll be new, because God is working deep down inside of my spirit. I got to preach now. Can I have a little more time? I feel God moving in here. like David in the middle of his mess. Remember, he said to God, whatever you take from me, don't take your Holy Spirit. I know I've been messed up. I know I've been a mess. Somebody came to this conference struggling with what you used to do. But I know you've been a mess. But you got to tell God, if you take the child that's born, if you take the house, don't take the spirit. Because I ain't got no way to make it back. If you take the spirit, he said, you can take everything, Lord, but leave the spirit. Don't take that Holy Ghost from me, because that's the only thing I got to feed on. They're talking about me in the street. They're walking all over me. And yeah, I've been wrong. But if you just let the spirit abide, I think I can rise again. Leave that Holy Spirit here. I know they don't want my company. They look funny when I go to church. They don't let me in the prayer meeting. And they threw me out the choir. But that's all right, Lord. Everybody can leave. But don't take that Holy Spirit from me. You got to keep that here. But that's my victory. And so it is the Spirit that exposes, delivers. And that's why Isaiah told them, it shall come to pass. Can I feel like old time church? Is that all right? It shall come to pass that in that day his burden shall be taken off thy shoulders and his yoke off thy neck. Tell somebody, God, get ready to lift your inner burden, that weakness, that thing that's got you bound, that thing that's holding you. God, get ready to take it off. Your fetishes, your proclivities, your weaknesses, the sin that's so easily beset, the thing you cry about in the morning. I'm talking about money now. I'm talking about me. Somebody pat yourself and say, it's me now. I need a change in here. I came to back to Bible, to go back to God. Not a form, but I need the real thing. The Holy Spirit has to identify the yoke. And when he identifies the yoke, he speaks from your spirit and tells your mind. When your spirit tells your mind goes into cataclysmic shock, because you're saying to yourself, I need it so bad, but God wouldn't show you if he wasn't going to deliver you, because he's not going to torment you. He's going to identify it in order to remove it. For the spirit's got to identify, then remove, then destroy, so it'll never come back. If he destroys it on you, he'll kill you with it, but he'll take it off you, then destroy it, then raise you up from under it. Tell somebody, I'm going higher than I ever been. I feel my brain right now. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Just wave your hand and tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Tell him thank you. Johnny ain't got no power, but God is setting you free. Feel the Spirit of God. Shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're coming out, honey. I'm not letting you go till you come out. We coming out together. We gonna shake these yokes. We gonna bury them today. Hold it. Give me just two more minutes. When you talk about anointing, from the etymological root, in the Hebrew, it means fat, it means rich, prosperity and well-being. God's going to increase your spirituality until it pushes every yoke off you. It's not coming from the outside off. It's coming from the inside off. himself. He's going to do it himself. He's not going to need somebody to bring it to pass. God said, you don't touch it. I've got to do this myself. The preacher's not going to do it. The missionary's not going to do it. It's just you and God. You cry. God pushing it out. When the tears come out, he's pushing it out. When the sweat pops, he's pushing it out. When the hand goes up in the middle of the flood, he's pushing it out. He's increasing the anointing that he put down in. Then the rope, he's going to rope the yoke. Because that's what it means to bind it, is to rope the yoke. Look at somebody. Tell him, I'll shout in the devil's face. I'll shout in his face. You can talk about me if you want. I'll shout in your face too. You can put me down if you want. While I'm struggling. Because he's going to take the yoke. Paul declared, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. And when he talks about help from the Greek word, he doesn't take it and leave us, but he takes it with us. He comes over against to take. So he comes to my rescue. And when he gets there, he says, get Johnny out. Get the folk out that you've been depending on. Because I want to come in myself. I want you to let me in. In order to do that, he's got to break our crutches. He's got to let folk let us down. He's got to let folk dog us. He's got to let folk treat us like dirt. He's got to let folk walk on us. Then he comes in and says, I told you they couldn't help you. But now I'm here to bring you out. I'm here to set you free. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel like lifting him up. Touch somebody. Say, you're coming out, honey. You're going home new. You're going home delivered. Because he's increasing your anointing. Your breath. Every yoke. Somebody pick your hand up. And I feel it leaving. I feel it leaving. Now I heard Paul when he began to cry out, my strength is made perfect in weakness. That's what the Lord is saying. I just want you to admit, you can't build that church by yourself, and I'll build it for you. I just want you to admit, you can't live holy by yourself, and I'll live it for you. I want you to admit, you can't bless yourself, and I'll bless you myself. If you just throw up your hands and say, ain't nothing good in me, the Holy Ghost will kick in and build up every power that's in your life. Y'all excuse me today, but I feel like preaching. Touch somebody, say, I'm going home free. That yoke I came with kept me up all night. I'm sleeping tonight. I'm sleeping tonight. But God is shattering the yoke. Can I preach just a minute? Somebody, just move your head like this. And then look up. Look up to God. To feel free. Tell your neighbor the yoke is off your neck. You can look up now. Your redemption joy now. The yoke. It's off my neck. It's off my neck. Somebody bend your waist. Come on, pick up. Do it in the Holy Ghost. Devil don't want you to pick up. Devil don't want you to look up. Devil don't want you to get up. But tell the devil, devil, the yoke is off my shoulder. I can look up. Reach up. I feel like preaching. It ain't over yet. The yoke is off you. The yoke is off you. Tell your neighbor the yoke is off you. The yoke is off you. That man yoke is off you. That girl yoke is off you. That homosexual yoke is off you. That drug yoke is off you. It's off, but it's still there. But now, that same anointing is gonna destroy. Shout hallelujah. Tell somebody now you got it off. Let's destroy in the spirit. Come on and destroy. Come on and destroy. You ain't coming up no more. You ain't getting back on me. You ain't gonna mess my life up. You ain't gonna kill my joy. You ain't gonna hurt me.
Thank you. Somebody throw your hands up and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going home free. I'm going home free. I may not get a new car, but this is a new me. The yoke is gone, man. The yoke is gone. Run your hand over your head like this. Ain't nothing over there. You can go as high as you want. And if it's not over you, it's under your... That yoke. And the marvelous thing is that this deliverance doesn't need anyone. Just where the Holy Spirit takes you. Because he's got to identify the yoke. And when the yoke is identified, we don't want to deal with it. And because church has always been marketed to where if your weaknesses, you were suspect. But we all came from various parts of the country, looking not only for the Lord to bless us externally, but there are some things that we sleep with at night. Some things we get up in the morning with, that God is saying, I'm going to set you free. Some of us, we've already had a revelation, but we need to get to the realization. We have already been enlightened, but we need to be enabled to realize in our lives what God has revealed. And what God says is lesson number one. You have got to say to yourself, in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And when that goes through your mouth, strength begins to rise. So I'm closing, but I close with Paul. Paul says, therefore, I will glory in my infirmity. Because the more I identify as a problem to me, is the more the Holy Ghost moves to offset its effect. Because God's not going to have me moping. He saved me to praise him. And every time he pushes another yoke off my shoulder. If I didn't think it was a problem, I wouldn't praise him like I praise him. But because I knew it was a problem, when he lifted it, I couldn't help myself. God wants you to realize that it's all about him. And when we understand that, then the things will come. I want you to take one person by both hands. And we're going to have our prayer. Because right where you are is an altar. Wherever the Holy Spirit is an altar. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. My soul loves Jesus. Bless his name. My soul loves Jesus.
Oh,
You're chosen. I don't care what you're going through. You're chosen. Before the foundation of the world, you're going to have future. You're going to have peace. The victory is yours. I want you for a moment to open your eyes, look at your neighbor. You might have never met this person. You don't know this person. But the Holy Spirit knows them. And God's going to give you what to say. Intercession begins with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Ghost that knows what the Father is giving out and tells us what to pray for. I want you to say to the person you're praying with, we're going to confront your fears together. I just want you to say it to them. We're going to confront your fears together. You and me and the Holy Spirit. Tell your neighbor, there's three of us here. You and me and the Holy Spirit. Abba Shata Mata. Oh God. We're going to bind some things right now. I wrote the yoke right now. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you know those tears that's born from that inside yoke. You know that young man, that young lady that's trying to break out of that relationship that's been pulling them down. And they've been yoked in it. I bind it right now. I bind that relationship that is putting them down in the dirt. I bind it right now. I'm binding that spirit to use that emotional weakness. I bind it right now. I bind it. I bind it. I bind every weapon that's formed against her. You said right now that it will not prosper. I bind it this moment. In the name of Jesus, I bind it. I bind doubt. I bind fear. I bind everything that is up against. I bind every witchcraft. Every witchcraft spirit in the name of Jesus. Hey. Squeeze the other hand. Squeeze the other hand. I loose the yoke. I loose faith. I loose victory. I loose that anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now open your vessel. Open your vessel. Watch him increase it. You will not go back. You will not be yoked. You will not be broken. You will not be heavy. Now praise him like you're going crazy. Praise him like you know it's done. Praise him and worship him. And lift him up. If it increase. If it increase. Yes, it's crazy. Walk out from your seat and shake some hands as you walk. Tell them it's increased. Tell them it's increased. Tell them it's increased. I'm going to another level. Come on, y'all, move around. I don't care if you're crying. It's all right to cry. It's all right to boo hoo. He's pushing it out. He's pushing it out. It's all right. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just check it, man. Just check it. Check it real quick. Check it real quick. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Tell your neighbor it's gone. It's gone.
But not defeated, cast down but not destroyed. There are times I don't understand, but I believe it's turning around for me. I've had struggles and disappointment. There are times I felt so alone. Some of my friends say, let me down, but I still believe it's turning around for me. Around for me. Around for me. Around for me. It's turning around for me.
Around for me.
Can you just say it into the atmosphere?
Around for me. Around for me.
It's turning around.
Turning around for me.
'Cause I can see the breaking.
I can see the breaking of day.
God is
making a way. Change is coming for me.
If I stay strong.
If I stand strong and believe.
There's no reason to doubt.
I
know he's working it
out.
And it's turning around. This is the good news. And it won't always be like this. He will perfect that concern. It'll turn in my favor.
Sooner or later, turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Your hand into the atmosphere and claim your season of turnaround. Hallelujah. let's say this together. Come on.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around for me.
Turning around for me.
I can see.
Around for me.
I can feel it happening.
Around for me.
Around for me.
Around for me.
It's turning around.
Good morning, everyone. Unfortunately, we are having some sound issues this morning. We're currently working on them. So we hope that you all have enjoyed the show this morning thus far. Does anyone want to say anything? Can anyone hear me? So, we are on a sound check issue. Sister Evangelist Barbara. Hello, good morning. Who am I speaking with?
Good morning, Brother Anthony.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sister Jerry.
Good morning. Good morning, Brother Anthony. How are you?
Bless, highly favored. Good morning to everybody. They're missing the action, but I got a new job and, you know, trying to take care of some things. And I got on the line last week. I got on the line, I think, I caught like the end of one show. And then the next day, y'all didn't have a show. But, you know, thank God y'all on this morning. And, you know, I just tuned in this morning, listen to the word, and thank God for the word that came through. Thank God for, you know, you being obedient and doing your part with the ministry and being a host this morning. So we just thank God that, you know, the word is still going forth and, you know, we can come together and fellowship with everybody. So it's a blessing itself. And ask y'all just continue to keep me in prayer. I got a couple testimonies. You know, the Lord opened up some doors for us, the job wise. So,
tell us about it. Loud and clear. Tell us about it.
Okay, yes, ma'am. Well, I made a transition And I moved to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Well, I'm in the process of moving to Chattanooga, Tennessee, but I took a job out here driving the truck. And I've been driving for about, this is about my second week right now. But before I got into this truck, I had went through another company. And then and that's the company that I wanted to do because I wanted to be able to be home daily and off on the weekends, you know, so I can go to church and, you know, during the week, you know, be able to get to the ministry and, you know, go to Bible study and things like that. And just mm-hmm. to be more effective in the things of the ministry and everything. And, you know, mm-hmm. along the way, you know, the prophets and the apostles, they, you know, prophesied some things over my life. And Miss Barbara as well, the same thing. So, you know, the Lord just showing me, you know, that they was on same one accord, you know, for us. What was prophesied on my life, and you know, I was kind of frustrated a little bit with the job that I'm on now. You know, just you know, I just seen where the enemy was just trying to attack me. You know, and you know, the man of God, woman of God, told me, you know, just continue to, you know, pray and you know, just focus and believe and trust in God. You know, and that's one thing, you know, Miss Barbara, you know, and store it in us, you know, that Proverbs 5:4. Yes, ma'am. So, you know, just keeping that in my heart and on my mind, and, you know, the Lord opened up a door, and I called this one company that I applied for, and they, when I called them the first time, they said, you know, due to my circumstances, they couldn't let me drive for them. You know, I had to wait a certain amount of time. Well, after the prophetess and apostle prayed for me and, you know, spoke into my life in that situation, you know, I called back, you know, during the week. And I was like, you know, I wasn't even worried about driving. I was like, well, I do labor work because, you know, I remember him saying they had some labor work. So I called back. I was like, well, you know, I talked to you, you know, a few weeks ago. And this, and I ain't going to say it's ironic, but I know this is God, because the guy that owned the company, his name Anthony, too. So, you know, that's how I knew, you know, what to call back, because mm-hmm. I saved his number on my phone. So, long story short, when I called him, I told him, you know, that I was willing to do the job and be a laborer. You know, he said, well, man, mm-hmm. he said, brother, he said, oh, the situation changed. He said, some things changed in the company. And he said, man, I believe I can get you on, and you can work for me, and you can still drive. So, you know, he told me to give him my information and everything, so I gave it to him, and caught me later on that day, asked me, did I fill the application? I filled the application out. Yes, ma'am. And,
wow, filled the application that is out. Moving for you this year.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. So, okay. You know, it, long story short, Lord opened the door. I got the job, you know, and I should be starting. After I take this drill screen, I got to take a drill screen. But I'll be doing that either this weekend or this Monday coming up after this weekend. So, you know, I'm just excited about that. I'm just, you know, God has, you know, opened doors, you know, and blessed me. And just being faithful, you know what I'm saying, continue to, you know, walk in his word and, you know, keep my mind focused on God. And, you know, a couple things that I want, but, you know I got to, you know, I need to seek God more, you know, and I tell God, I say, Lord, I don't want nothing going on that will take my mind off of you, you know, that everything that I'm doing in this process, let me continue to focus on you. So, you know, the God honor our word, and, you know, if we praying and staying in the word, you know, God will move for us, and, you know, having faith and trust in God, you know, so, you know, I just thank God for that, and it's just a blessing to hear y'all this morning, and again, this morning, I'll say good morning. Mm-hmm. If you ain't did a roll call, Ms. Jerry, I'm going to do this roll call for y'all this morning, if you don't mind.
Before you do the roll call, I want to make an announcement to Anthony to move in what you were talking about. Monday night at 6:35, we're going to be having training classes and Zooming and more of what we want. And Barbara put it out there on Facebook so you all can get the phone number and ID, but I'm going to give it to you anyway, what the ID number is and the password is and the phone number is. It's discipling training classes, Monday night at 6:45 to 8:15. So if you're interested in doing that, I mean, because, no, I don't have the roll call, Anthony. You know, I just know your name and a few others. We want to recognize everyone because we're having such a issue with our sound. But praise the Lord anyway. We got the message and we heard you.
Amen.
And it's great news. And feel free to go ahead and do the roll call because I don't have it.
Okay, so yeah, I got you. Well, first of all,
okay.
I want to say good morning to everybody. And, well, I just thank God, first of all, for life ever screen, keeping my right mind, allowing me to see another day. I thank you for activity in my limbs. Thank you for who he is in me, what he's doing in me, where he brought me from, where he's taking me at. I'll just give God all the glory for that. Father God, Lord, I thank God for Sister Jerry this morning, being on the line, being faithful. This is for Sister Barbara right now as well. This is for Brother Louis and Sister Sherry. I say good morning to y'all, Brother Frank, Brother Jermaine, Brother D. I want to say good morning to Brother Hamilton and Brother Perry. Good morning to y'all. Say good morning to Brother Cav and Brother Calvin. I say good morning to Sister Samoa, Sister Rita. Say good morning to Sister Dot, Sister Rose Brown. Say good morning to Sister Fion, Miss Kim Hops, Brother Mike Hops. Good morning to y'all, Sister Angela Foot, Mother Anna Lee Foot. Good morning, y'all. Good morning to Apostle Boatwright. Good morning to Sister Michelle Fluka. Good morning to Sister Alexis. Good morning to you, Sister I forgot that name. But, Lord, we just thank God. And if I forgot you, I got to get me a back on the right track for the names, but you know, we just thank God. And I was gonna say good morning to Sister Shante. Good morning to you. I'll be forgetting you, but we just praise God. We just thank God, and you know, much love to everybody. And y'all continue to be blessed and everything y'all do, and just keep your mind focused on God and the things of God, and you know, stay in that word and try to make it to the class. You know. And that's a key factor in our walk with God. We got to, you know, have a prayer life and know that word, you know, so we can be able to fight a battle, you know. So we just thank God, and y'all continue to pray for me, and I pray for y'all, and y'all have a blessed, wonderful rest of the day and weekend. Amen.
Amen, Brother Anthony. Brother Anthony, I need to also give everybody that meeting ID number, password, and the phone number. Hopefully, we all have a pen or something we can write this down with. The meeting ID number is 849-9208-5964. And the password will be 680036. And then we have a phone number of 646-558-8656. I did that pretty fast, so I'm going to repeat it again because I can't write it that fast myself, okay? So again, the meeting, huh?
No, I just, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Did you get it, Brother Anthony?
I'm driving right now, so I can't write it down, but I'll reach out to Miss Barbara later on today and try to get it.
Okay. Sounds great.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll try it one more time. 849-9208-5964. That is the meeting ID number. The password is 680036. The phone number is six, five, five, eight, eight, six, five, six. The meeting time is 6:45 to 8:15. For all of you all that did not get it from me, I'm new at this. Hopefully you all can reach out to Sister Barbara. She'll put something out there on Facebook. I'm just doing the best I can, stepping up wherever I can. I hope you all have a blessed morning, and may God bless us all.
Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Brother Anthony, for tuning in. Does anybody else want to press a button or say good morning? Well, if not, maybe we can play another song, or we can end the show early and allow Sister Barbara to work on our technical issues and hopefully come back tomorrow. And we'll go to the last song of the morning. God bless us all, and God keep us all. And God look upon all of us, for we are in terrible, terrible need of you, Jesus. Amen. We're going to the last song, and that's No Need to Be Back.
like, whenever God.